sunny day. Wednesday's high at 50. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 43 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And not down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing great. Hope you guys had a great, very long weekend for us. Well, Chase, it's been almost a week off, at least, what, five, 6 days. It's been a while, man. I feel like we've got to knock the rust off here a little bit as we get going on this first day back, man. Hope everybody had a great holiday series. Hope you guys had a great Christmas. Me and Chase were just chopping it up a little bit. I know that he had a good one. I had a good one. The Pastor Payne surprises. He popped up down here, him and my Aunt Wanda, and we had a great time, man. We were able to go over to my best friend's house here. His family was in town. And, man, it was really a great, great holiday season. So big thanks to everybody that made that possible, man. I had a lot of laughs, some good food, and just some great, great time with friends and family. So that's all you really can ask for. So I hope you guys were able to do the same. And I hope you guys got your football minds ready to go, because we're going to dive back into this thing. We haven't been able to talk about it here in a minute since we haven't been on air. And we didn't stream at all after we went off air last week. So I'm itching to talk about it, Chase. We'll do just that. We want to do it with you guys. 205-342-9904 is the number to the program. Make sure you guys call in if you guys have anything on your mind. We don't have any guests scheduled for today. Now, Tuesday, we do have Clint Lamb at the top of the hour. Probably get Slade back on here tomorrow as well. Wednesday, plan on having some guests and so forth. And you guys know Thursday is the day of the game. So I don't know the schedule, Chase. Let me go ahead and ask you real quick. The game is 3 o'clock Central Time. Are we good in terms of the shows leading up to that? Or are we off with that? How does that work? And plus, it's New Year, so maybe you can fill me in on the schedule.
To my knowledge, Christian, I think there's going to be one or two shows on, because then you have DC and Matt Coulter, their pregame show, and then you have CTSN, their pregame show right after that, and then the game. So I think maybe Martin Houston show and Inside the Locker Room will be the only two shows, but I'll double check with Wyatt Fulton and get you acclimated with that.
Good deal. So it sounds like, yeah, so we won't be on air Thursday. So Wednesday, we're going to treat it almost like a Friday on our typical schedule. Thursday, the Miller's Edge will be off, at least on the radio. Maybe on the stream, we'll do something if we need to. Probably not, though, because I also have to do some pregame stuff as well. But it sounds like we will be back in action on Friday, and hopefully it'll be a victory Friday, and we'll be talking about what's next for Alabama. But before we get there, we'll be where our feet are. And that's talking about this one, the granddaddy of them all, the Rose Bowl, taking place this Thursday. Tide traveling out to California. A little bit different schedule this time, Chase. We'll talk about it here in a minute, because normally you talk about bowl games and what comes with that, man. I have a lot of great memories with bowl games and, you know, all the events and things that they put on for the football teams that are a part of them. But nowadays, these things look different, Chase. I mean, listen, we just get more and more closer to being the pros pretty much at the college level. There's not even really the same level of activities during these bowl games. A lot of these teams really just get there a couple or a few days before, and they're treating it almost just like a road game, right? They're not taking place in, or they're not taking part in these big things. I do know the parade still is a thing out there. But other than that, man, Chase, for our bowl games, we used to go to things like Disney World, Disneyland, amusement parks, bowling alleys. I mean, we'd be out there for like a week, and it was almost like being on vacation. Not the case anymore. And I don't know if that's on behalf of these teams, the bowl committees themselves. I'm not 100% sure on that. But I do know everybody I talked to, they told me, yeah, we're kind of treating it more so like an away game, right? It almost reminds me of kind of like the NFL, right? In the NFL, when you go play out on the West Coast or the other coast, right? If you're going to the East from the West and vice versa, you typically get out there 2 days before the game. That way you have some time to get acclimated, and then you play, then you come right back. That's pretty much what Alabama plans on doing, right? So I'll be honest with you. I feel bad that the players don't get to have those same experiences that we used to have during our bowl games. However, listen, I love that attitude. I mean, that, to me, that sounds like they're taking this is a business trip approach, right? Yes, it's the Rose Bowl. We respect it. It's a great opportunity. The coaches, they spoke to the media. We'll have to go back and play some of those because they, you know, took place over the weekend and we weren't on there. So we'll go back and play a lot of those. But the way I look at it, Chase, that tells me this team is locked in and they're focused on the game. You know, I'm sure they would, you know, gladly accept any of those, I guess, activities, but they're more focused on what happens between the lines. I think that should be the most important thing as they look to take on the number one seed, Indiana, unbeaten, has not lost yet this season. They are the Big Ten champions, a good football team. We'll talk about what makes them a good football team. We'll talk about this matchup, what to expect, all those things, keys, all that stuff. We're going to dive into this preview today. I got a lot of thoughts on this matchup. I've been watching some tape and doing some breakdown stuff, so we'll definitely be bringing that to you today on this Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. Try before you buy, nothing to lose. Make sure you guys go check out the Good Feet Store if you haven't already. Midtown Village here in Tuscaloosa is where you can find a location, right off of McFarland Boulevard. But don't worry, you can basically check them out all over. So even if you go out to the Rose Bowl, there's Good Feet stores out there, I'm sure, as well. So make sure you find them. Go to the website, goodfeet.com, to find that nearest location to you and schedule an appointment. You don't have to. It is walk-ins as well, not just appointments. But again, these are premium art supports designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain, whether it's foot pain, knee pain, back pain, hip pain, anything you might be dealing with. These Good Feet art supports are designed to eliminate and alleviate that pain and clinically proven to do so in just 4 short weeks, guys. So make sure you guys take advantage of the Good Feet store. I'm telling you, I swear by them. I wear them. I love them. They're great. And I want them to be great for you as well. Again, that is the Good Feet store, improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time, just like we like to do 2 hours at a time. That said, we got to take our first time out. We come back, we start diving into this preview again. Alabama, Indiana, Rose Bowl taking place this Thursday. We're going to get you guys up to speed on everything, what to expect, do some breakdown stuff. I got some tape pulled up as well. We can always go there. Love to take your questions and talk your comments and concerns. All right, here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout.
And performing better. All you have to do is stop by Game Day Men's Health at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa for a free consultation.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are native Alabama. Comisario Tequila continues to earn praise for its smooth character and refined complexity, with the extra añejo standing out for its luxurious notes of oak, dried fruit, and caramel.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into this Monday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts, man. All right, we're getting back in our flow, Chase. We're knocking a little bit of this rust off. Before we dive into this Rose Bowl talk, trust me, we've got plenty of time to do it. We will do that. Plus, we'll hear some of these interviews. There's been buku player interviews, coordinator interviews, a whole bunch we got to get back, caught back up on, I should say. And we'll plan on doing that. But first, man, we got some breaking news, and it does involve, you know, Auburn, the other team here in the state of Alabama. But it's some big news because, hey, there could be, I don't know, there could be some type of link here. I'll talk about that here in a second. But Auburn star wide receiver, and shout out to Dwight, and I think it was Mike as well here in our chat for for informing us of this and tagging us in it. But Auburn star wide receiver Cam Coleman enters the transfer portal. That is according to On3 Sports. So that is official. The two seasons, he totaled 1,300 yards, 13 touchdowns. And without a doubt, I mean, this guy will be the top wide receiver in the portal, not to mention probably one of the top players in the portal, period. So definitely some interesting news regarding that. I think a lot of people were maybe expecting that to be the case. Auburn has had, you talk about a mass exodus since they went ahead and hired Golish from USF, man. I don't know what he's I don't know what he's saying to that team, but it's not looking too great for Auburn right now. And I mean, I feel like they've lost not just a number of guys, but a number of their key players. I mean, it's going to be a complete rebuild at this point. But that means there's somewhat of a fire sale going on right now. And I hate to put it like that, but because it wasn't fun, Chase, it wasn't fun when we went through this when Coach Saban retired and we had a number of our guys in the portal and everybody was, you know, trying to pick up our guys on a discount and all that good stuff. I'll say this, man. I guess now people know how we feel. I mean, I'm sure they probably were laughing when that happened to us. Well, now they know how it feels, man. It's not fun, but it's part of the game. And I'll say this, could there be some targets on that roster that could maybe make their way to Tuscaloosa? Sure, I'm sure there could be. We just hired Derek Nix, who's a former Auburn coach. He was offensive coordinator there, took over play calling duties with what's his name? Hugh Freeze retired. No, excuse me, not retired, being fired. And now he's on the Alabama staff. That being said, who knows? We'll have to see, guys. We'll have to see if there's some connections there that maybe ends up bringing some of those guys down to Tuscaloosa. That said, Chase, could we see Cam Coleman, who was a, I mean, this guy is extremely talented, right? Heavily recruited by Alabama when he was coming out of high school, five-star prospect. I mean, the dude is special. He's a playmaker. Could we see him in an Alabama uniform?
The 100%. Honest truth is,
Chase,
yes.
You think so?
I 100% green flag, all cars are going. This is the time for Bama to go for, even though he did go to the school. I'm not going to mention her name, but he is from Phoenix City. He had a very, very impressive season, even with the quarterback fiasco that happened down there. Yeah. He was still productive. He still gave his team a winnable situation, and he was always doubled. You look at plays this season, it kind of reminded me of the Calvin Johnson effect in the NFL. Wherever he was on the field, they knew where he was at, and he still was able to get his touches, his catches, his receiving yards, and he was able to impact the game in the way that he does. And I kind of see him a little bit kind of like a George Pickens, someone that can really affect the game and really put it on tape a little bit. Another player that way back, he played for the Jets, Braylon Edwards. He was good for them, and how tall he is and just kind of that go gadget that can get you that first down, really be a big play. But if Bama's able to get Cam Coleman, man, that wide receiver room for next year, it's going to be a lot of competition. I'll say that. But I'd break the bank for Cam Coleman.
But all right, Chase, since you opened that can, we got to talk about it. You said you would break the bank for Cam Coleman. I like the comparison to George Pickens, right? Both 6'3", 200 pounds. I mean, in terms of stature, they're damn near identical. Cam Coleman's is at 6'3", 201, so 1 pound heavier than the Dallas Cowboys receiver, who I want to say has earned a Pro Bowl, and, you know, he's having himself a hell of a season right now. He's gone for 1,400 yards, 9 touchdowns. Again, I'm talking about George Pickens, also an Alabama guy. I think George is from, like, Birmingham area. But that said, there's, you know, some similarities there. And George Pickens is a dog. I look at Cam Coleman, I mean, a very aggressive receiver, right, a playmaker. I mean, he makes all types of catches, contested catches. He's got the length. He's got speed. I mean, the dude pretty much can do everything you need him to do as a wide receiver. That said, Chase, you said you would break the bank for Cam Coleman. But to what extent? I mean, listen, I mentioned this while we were on break for our radio listeners. I didn't hear this. Listen, college football is, I mean, it's, you pretty much got a salary cap. You got GMs. You got to view it from that lens. You got to view it as if this is the NFL and you have to make these types of decisions. What decisions am I talking about? Well, let's look at Alabama's situation right now. You've got Ryan Williams, who's arguably one of the, if not the highest paid wide receivers, maybe behind Jeremiah Smith. Again, according to On3, I'm not going off of personal information. I wouldn't do that. But according to On3, when we had that pulled up during the season, he was one of the highest paid receivers. So you got him. It was alleged that Isaiah Horton, I think, was making around 700K. And again, I hate the pocket watch. We're not doing that. We're just speaking, you know, about the sports radio. And then you had Jeremy Bernard, who I think was around like 400 or something. We had, I mean, arguably one of the highest paid receiver rooms in the country. Jeremy Bernard will be going to the NFL draft. I think we all can agree on that. I think he may have, I don't know if he's out of eligibility or not, but he'll be leaving. Horton, you don't know. If Horton were to leave, then yeah, I'm with you, man. You have a lot of room in your quote unquote salary cap, your NIL cap, whatever you want to call it. But if Horton comes back, Chase, I mean, that's a tough squeeze. This guy is up there too in terms of highest paid receivers. And then I just saw something, I think like a week or two ago, Texas A&M had a receiver who became the highest paid. So talking about being like the NFL, Chase, this is how it works. There's new markets, right? People keep resetting the market. Just like the quarterback situation. A couple of years ago, you could have got yourself a really good quarterback for, I don't know, 1.5. Now you're talking about $3-4 million, Chase. The market's going to keep resetting just like it does in the NFL, just like it does in all sports. That said, you're going to be paying top dollar for this guy. Now, you said you would break the bank, Chase. There's only so much money you got. And if you're already paying Ryan Williams and you're already paying Isaiah Horton, you're already paying Bernard, but he's going to be leaving. I don't see it happening, Chase. I hear what you're saying. Like, if you take the money thing away from it, hell yeah, I think it could happen. I mean, hell, we just hired Derek Nix, who was coaching the running backs at Auburn, but still, familiarity there. He's an Alabama guy. I don't know if he grew up an Auburn or Alabama fan. I want to say he was committed to Texas A&M before, but I know he was heavily recruited by Alabama. So all that sounds good, but making the money, I feel like we already invest so much offensively. I would have said, man, let's find us a D tackle that's a dog. Let's rebuild this. Yeah, I know our defense is playing good. Don't get me wrong. But listen, I want to get back to having those elite defensive linemen, right? Those go-getters, guys that, you know, violently stop the run, you know, have pass rush. They wreak havoc in the backfield. Like, I would put some big money into that. You know, we're going to have to put big money into linebacker core. We're losing all 3-star linebackers. I think QB Reese, you feel good about. The other positions, I think this is, I mean, it's pretty open competition. You got to bring in some experience there. So you got to be prepared to pay some money there. And then on the back end, you're actually in good shape. The only one, I think everybody has a choice to come back. But I'm sure maybe one or two of those guys may decide to go on to the NFL draft. I'm, you know, referring to guys like Bray Hubbard, you know, maybe Keon Sabb makes a decision. But still, I mean, really, it's the front seven that you probably are going to be investing in terms of portal-wise for some, you know, come in and play now type guys. That said, offensive line, I think you still need to keep trying to address that. We know we just picked up a tight end via the portal last week, I think it was, or maybe the week before. So, man, Chase, don't get me wrong. I love playmakers. I don't think you can ever have enough playmakers. I mean, especially in an offense like this, this is a pass-heavy offense. You just got to come to accept it. The running game is never going to be maybe what some people would like it to be or hope it to be. It is what it is. This is a pass-heavy offense. So, yes, I mean, playmakers like this would be perfect for it. I mean, they've got, you know, a quarterback throwing damn near 40 times a game. It's a lot of drop-back pass, even when it's extensions of the running game, you know, quick game, screen game. The receivers get a lot of opportunities in this offense. I think he would excel in it. I just don't think you can make it make sense financially. Now, with some things shuffling around a little bit, we could see. But listen, if Ryan Williams returns, which I fully expect him to, Jeremy Bernard probably leaving, but Isaiah Horton, I think there's a good chance he returns, Chase. I don't know what his draft stock or draft status really looks like right now, but if I had to guess, I would probably say mid-round guy. Just being honest, I know he has a lot of talent. I know he has a lot of potential. But in terms of receivers, man, there's a stupid amount of wide receivers in college football. And it's always like this, you know, receivers, man, they'll be drafting receivers from all over, man. You know what I mean? It's not just the guys you hear about a whole bunch of these big teams. So I think he would benefit from coming back personally. And I don't know if that's what he does. But if he comes back, Chase, I mean, you're looking at well over seven figures just in two guys right there. So, and this guy, and I think this guy's probably going to be making well over $1 million with whatever deal he ends up with. I'll try to pull it up during the break of what he allegedly makes right now, and we kind of get an idea and try to find out what that Texas A&M guy just signed for, which is crazy. You talk about these guys signing, Chase. It just feels like the NFL now, right? I mean, I'm seeing news. Oh, speaking of like South Carolina, right? My dad's team. They somehow found a way to get all their guys back. Dylan Stewart's coming back. I think Nick Harbor is coming back. I know the quarterback, Linnell Sellers, is coming back. I mean, but it's just crazy. It's like, oh, they've agreed to new deals. So that's the world we're in, man. So I don't know, but it is breaking news. Cam Coleman, Auburn wide receiver, hits the transfer portal. Do you guys think there's a chance we see him in a crimson jersey? Personally, I don't think financially it would work. But, hell, if he was down here, shoot. Imagine him paired. Imagine if you had Ryan, Cam Coleman, Horton, Lotsier, Brooks. Then you got, I mean, we don't know what Ty's going to do, but I think if Ty has a, I mean, Ty was still, even with, you know, a little bit of a rough second half of the season at times, and, you know, now he's, you know, kind of back, hopefully, on that momentum after the Oklahoma game. Regardless, Ty's probably going to be a first-round draft pick, whether it's mid or late, whatever. I think there's a good chance Ty ends up leaving. Imagine those guys with a guy like Keelan Russell, Chase. Man. But then you got so much money in the receivers, like, do we still have enough for the offensive line? What good are those receivers if you don't feel great about the offensive line? I don't know. But I do know we need to hit a timeout. I want you guys to give me your thoughts on that 205-342-9904. We come back with the phone lines early. We got Tony from Oklahoma. We got our buddy Tommy on there. Then we're going to dive into this Alabama-Indiana Rose Bowl preview again. I got some tape pulled up. If there's anything specific you guys want to talk about. But also, I have plenty of thoughts just from watching it, man. I've been watching a lot of these guys over this break that I've had. And I got a lot of thoughts. Good football team. Very consistent, very well coached, really good scheme. They'll scheme you up. They do a lot of different things, and they do it well, man. They don't make very many mistakes, so definitely going to be a good matchup, I think. But there's a lot of people, Chase, that are doubting Alabama. Alabama right now is 6.5-point favorite. We'll talk about if I believe that's accurate or not. Some people don't think Alabama has a chance. I'll just give you guys a hint. I think Alabama definitely has a chance in this football game, 100%. There's going to be some things we have to do to win this game. Now I'll talk about that coming up right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
Card FWC26. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, proud to be the official bank of FIFA World Cup 2026. Bank of America N.A. in partnership with Visa. Terms apply. Rewards reserved.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts, man. And listen, there's so much to cover right now. Number one, we were off 3 days last week, and rightfully so. Everybody needed a break to go spend time, you know, for the holidays, all that good stuff. But Chase, man, we got so much to catch up on. We got coordinator interviews. We've got plenty of player interviews. We hadn't even really broken this game down just yet. Definitely got to do that, and we will do that. I know I want to go to you guys on the phone lines, 205-342-9904. Plus, I mean, we got new news of, you know, Cam Coleman hitting the transfer portal, and he joins. He's not the only one. I mean, Auburn's whole pretty much wide receiver core is in the portal. I want to say, I think two other of their, like, you know, top receivers are also in the portal as well. I want to say, I just saw it. I had it pulled up. Yeah, Perry Thompson, Malcolm Simmons. Actually, there's four other guys. So, I mean, they lost, like, their whole receiving core. So, man, I mean, I don't know, man. Maybe they're not a big fan of that goalish offense, which we do know it does, you know, consist of a lot of quarterback design run, things like that. I get it. Maybe that's not what these guys want to play in. But, you know, it is what it is. But I sure feel like we could definitely use them as well. If it makes sense, though, financially. 205-342-9904 is the number. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. We got Tony from Oklahoma first. Tony, welcome in.
Hey, thanks a lot, Chris. Please pass along a happy new year to your dad.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you very much.
And of course, you're great, too. But I enjoyed the part you're talking about college football as a business. And, I mean, you hear fans. They act like it's not, but it is really a business anymore, depending on just how much money there is available NIL to keep these players, you know, to keep satisfied so they don't hit the portal. So yep. It is a big business, and it's all about money. And the one question I had, though, as I told you, Screener, the disrespect that from the national media and from, you know, everybody as far as Alabama's ability to win this game. I mean, do I know they're going to win the game? No, I don't know. I have no idea. You know, that's why you play the game. You don't, you know, you can supposition all day long. But I'm just curious as to why nobody is seeing that Alabama's strength of schedule has been very, very strong. And I know Indiana's played some tough games, but Alabama's had some really tough, they've had tough games in a row, just one after another. So I'd like to hear you talk about that a bit.
Yeah. So I'll say this, and we'll definitely dive a lot deeper here in a moment. But just to kind of, you know, get a head start on the whole Alabama-Indiana matchup, talking about two really good football teams. I'll start with Alabama. When you look at Alabama, when we're playing our best ball, I feel like we're good enough to win it all. I feel like our defense has had a magnificent, I call it a turnaround. It really wasn't like a turnaround because it really was, you know, the first game, which is bad. Defensively, we played piss poor. Excuse my language. We played really bad defensively. And it was, you know, from effort, physicality, lack of all that. I mean, it was not good. But since then, I mean, just each week, I feel like we've got better and better and better. And I think the players have gotten more comfortable and confident. I tip my hat to Kane Womack and his staff, seeing the things that they've done defensively, showing a lot more disguises, doing a lot of different things on defense. I feel like last year, we felt very bland on defense at times, a little one-dimensional, didn't mix things up a whole bunch. This year, we look a lot different. There's some more layers to this defense. They've developed their pass rush. They struggled with some explosive plays on the ground. They've started to limit those. They've become actually a pretty decent team at stopping the run. They've, you know, continued to force takeaways. So defensively, man, one of the better units in the country, right? Can be a little inconsistent at times, but it really, it feels like it's just for, you know, short moments in the game. We get things cleaned up, we get it assessed, then we end up playing some good football. Now, the issues, the offense, you look at how we looked the second half of the season. Offensively, man, we didn't look great for, you know, four or five games on the second half of the season until this most recent game, which we started really badly, went down 17-0. It looked like we were carrying over our poor performance from the Georgia game, but it was like a light bulb went on for our offense. And we had that confidence again that we hadn't seen in quite some time. We were hitting on explosive plays down the field like we were doing earlier on in the season. Ty Simpson wasn't necessarily perfect against Oklahoma, but he settled down, right? After, you know, you could tell he definitely felt flurried a little bit with that pressure early on. He settled down, trusted his receivers, gave them some chance on some 50-50 balls. They came up big, made some plays, they helped him out. And to me, that exemplified what this offense can be when things are clicking. Now, are we going to ever have some, you know, running game that's, you know, perfect and we're just marching down the field? No, that's just not. I keep hearing people say, oh, well, if Alabama can find a way to run the ball. At this point, I don't think you're just magic going to find a way to run the ball. I think you just lean into what you do, like we talked about with Slade Bolden here on the show. And that's, you know, the passing game, using it for extensions of the running game. You know what I mean? Being a little creative to find ways in those areas. That said, when I look at Indiana, I think the reason, like, a lot of people are putting that doubt on Alabama is, number one, that inconsistent we just talked about, right? We don't know what version of Alabama's offense, because really defensively has been pretty damn consistent. You don't know what version of Alabama's offense you're going to get. And unfortunately, if you get the dud version that we saw against, you know, Georgia, you know, saw at times in some of these other games, whether you go back to Auburn at times, a little sluggish there. I mean, just, you know, really the past five or six games, offense just kind of just, it's been sputtering. If you get that type of offense, I'll be honest, I do think it will be a very difficult challenge for Alabama to win this football game. And the reason why is, while I believe Alabama definitely has more talent than Indiana, they're extremely well coached. They're very disciplined. They're like, their scheme itself is a really good scheme, right? They out-scheme a lot of people. They're consistent. They've got a quarterback who's very capable, right? He's the Heisman Trophy winner for a reason. He can make all the throws you need him to make. He's clutch. He comes up when you need him to make plays, just like he did against Ohio State. They can run the football well. They average about 220 on the ground defensively. They're in, like, all the top categories. And I understand the strength of schedule and all that, but if you go watch how they played Ohio State, man, they're aggressive defensively. They do a lot of twists and stunts up front. I think they're number two in tackles for loss on the back end. I mean, look, they forced like 25 turnovers, which is more than we forced this season. Their linebackers have accounted for about 17 sacks. So that shows the pressure and aggression, the aggressiveness of that defense and the ways they call things. They disguise a lot. They have a really good defense as well. So when I look at this team, the way I view it is, listen, they have a really good defense that can pose some challenges for our offense, but they also have a capable offense. I think they're averaging like 40-some points a game, but I'm not leaning too much into that because I understand that some of the opponents that they play. But the fact is, when we've struggled offensively, we were fortunate enough to be playing teams that didn't have offense that were super capable. Missouri, Auburn, South Carolina. If those teams had capable offenses, those games could have gone a whole different direction. And now this, to me, is one of the most complete teams in the country. That said, I do see Alabama definitely having a good chance at winning this football game. The reason is, I feel like when Alabama, if they can play a complete game and if they can show up the way that we saw them show up in the three quarters against Oklahoma, to me, that can pose a lot of challenges for Indiana. Indiana beat Ohio State, and I give them a lot of credit for that. But I will also say, it's not like they just, you know, handled business and then were just, you know, looking great the whole time. I mean, really, matter of fact, I watched that game this morning again. There are some moments in that game where, I mean, listen, they made plays when it mattered the most, and that's what makes them good. But they're not some team that's, like, unbeatable. They've shown that they're a beatable team, just nobody has this season, because they are undefeated, found a way to put everything together and, you know, come out on top. And that's what makes me a little nervous about this game with us, is that this is going to require us to, we're going to have to be pretty damn clean in this game. We can't afford to have mistakes. We've got to protect Ty Simpson. We've got to find a way to stop their running game, because they do a really good job at, you know, controlling the tempo of the game with time of possession. And they got a quarterback who's a Heisman Trophy winner for a reason. That said, I still think we have better players than them. But they are just one of those guys. They don't look like elite in all these categories, statistically it shows up that way. But when you watch them, it's not like it's like a bunch of guys like blowing you out, like you know, blowing your mind, like, man, these guys are such good. Like they're just so well coached and they play within that system so well, man. And they don't make a lot of mistakes. So I think it's going to be a really good matchup. I don't agree with the spread. I think it's a little high for me, but I do feel confident that Alabama can win this game. I just think we're going to have to play extremely clean and our offense is going to have to show up like they did against Oklahoma in those three quarters. We got to hit on those explosive plays. I don't expect us to run the ball great in this game because they do a really good job stopping the run. So yes, we're going to have to rely on our passing game and Ty's going to have to have a really good game for us to win this game. So yes, I think we can win it, but I think it's going to be a good challenge.
I watched the three quarters of the Oklahoma game, and when Ty gets time, Ty can hurt you really bad. But he's got to have time. They can't just they can't be in his face all the time. At least that's what I saw. And defense, I think they're doing great. I mean, they've got some. Everybody has things they can fix, but they've done a really, really good job. And I think Indiana's going to face a defense that's pretty darn tough. And we just, Oklahoma doesn't have a lot of offense, but I can tell you, Oklahoma had a good defense, and they're in the third, in the last three quarters. I mean, Alabama was able to pick that defense apart and they did really well, So,
yeah.
I don't understand the disrespect. I'm like you. I think 3 or 4 points, I don't see 6.5, 7 points. I don't see a touchdown separating these two teams.
What's crazy? It's tough to say. I mean, it could be a tie game in the late touchdown to make it 7 points, which doesn't paint that whole picture. That's why the whole Ben thing is a little tricky. But to me, I think when I view it as too high only because I'm like, all right, they're coming up with that number ahead of time. I don't think they're coming up with that number like, oh, well, from my point of view where it's like, oh, it could be a 7-point game by like a late, walk-off touchdown, right? To me, I'm thinking they've come up with 7 points off of all these metrics that they're putting in. And that's why I feel like it's definitely too high. So I hear exactly what you're saying, Tony. To me, it's like you said earlier, no one knows. All of us, even the experts on the national level, former players, coaches, we can sit here and talk and do all the media we want. But at the end of the day, ultimately what happens between those lines is what's going to determine who advances and who wins this Rose Bowl matchup. I think it's going to be a good football game. I think Alabama having time to get healthy is going to be huge. I know we were, a lot healthier in the Oklahoma game, but I would argue having 12 more days after that game, hearing Jam and some of these other guys say, hey, man, I'm back to about 100%. That's huge news. Because to me, I feel like part of this reasons that we've been struggling, especially offensively, guys have been beaten and banged up. And I hate when I hear other people say it a whole bunch. I hate because I'm being a hypocrite now because I'm like, man, everybody's beaten and banged up. But if you look at the guys that we had beaten and banged up and how instrumental they were in their roles of this offense, and how we've been going through these gauntlets, I truly do think it's going to be an advantage for us going into this game. And clearly they've had plenty of time, but they might have had too much time. Last year, all the number one seeds lost. We're, coming off of an Oklahoma game that was a dogfight, but then had some time to rest up. I think that's an advantage for us. So I think there's a number of things that also go in our favor. I do think some people are leaning too heavy in Indiana, but also think there probably are some people on our side that aren't maybe giving Indiana enough credit. So I think there's a little bit of both, but I definitely think, Tony, we should be confident. If we play I'm not going to say like our best game, but if we play solid, right, and don't beat ourselves, don't have a bunch of mistakes and find a way to get things clicking again offensively on a consistent rate, I definitely think we can play with these guys. They're definitely a beatable team. You just have to put it all together.
Well, I'll tell you what, I appreciate your analysis. I think you are a lot like your dad. I mean, straight shoot. I mean, there's a lot of people that, just want to look at things with rose-colored glasses. And I want Alabama to win, but I'm also a realist. And I mean, they're going to face a real battle. But I mean, like you said, if he gets enough time and they'll protect him, he can hurt you, especially if the receivers will catch the ball. That's the biggest thing, too, there. They got to catch the ball.
Yeah, 100%. And that's what happened against Oklahoma. I mean, let's just face it. I mean, Ty was better against Oklahoma for sure. But I don't think people realize those receivers really stepped up too and finally gave him some help. I mean, we hadn't seen some, and I know he had some misses on his throws without a doubt. Right. I mean, we're holding him accountable too, but think about how many times, I mean, Horton in the SEC championship game, right? I mean, he had a drop. I know there was a little contested, but still, I mean, we got to catch it. We got to come down with those. Ryan Williams had a drop. I mean, like we haven't been consistently coming up with those big plays like we did against Oklahoma, we did earlier in the year. And to beat a good team like Indiana, man, you're going to have those. You're going to have some of those acrobatic catches. You're going to have Lotsier Brooks turning around and finding the football and coming up big on fourth down conversion. All that has to go well, and that's why I'm saying it definitely will be a challenge. Can Alabama beat Indiana? Absolutely. But it's going to be very difficult, and it's going to require a lot of consistency. And it's going to, you know, you got to have minimal mistakes in this game, in my opinion, just because they're a really good football team as well. But, Tony, we got to get ready to hit this next time out. I mean, I appreciate the phone call. Really good stuff. I apologize for talking so much, brother.
I wanted you to. That's why I asked you to. Thank you, and Happy New Year to you too as well, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, man. Good deal. Good deal, man. So, Tony from Oklahoma. I wasn't sure if he was I figured he was an Alabama fan, but wasn't sure, man, from Oklahoma. Good deal. Hey, so, listen, like, we keep stretching our callers, our listenership, man. We've got people from literally all over, which I love to see that, man. It's really good stuff. But let's do this, Chase. We did skip over a break, so I know we probably need to play catch up. You tell me, Chase, should we hit this early top the hour break, or should we, what do you think would be best?
We can hit the top hour break.
All right. Yeah, it's 55. We can do that, and we'll come back and catch all the way up. So we're going to do this. We're going to hit this top the hour break. When we come back, we'll keep diving into this. I know we still got Tommy on the phone line, so we'll make sure we get Tommy on there as well. But we'll continue talking about this while we're already on it, breaking down this Rose Bowl matchup. I got plenty more thoughts about it. Big thanks to Tony asking about it, though, because we really got to dive into it. But I got some tape pulled up. We'll do all that right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
From every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start.
Roll Tide.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rentals. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
TJ's Pharmacy and Wellness, 303 Hargrove Road East, next door to the Tuscany Podiatrist, also across the street from West Coast Custom. They are now TJ's Pharmacy and Wellness. Same great customer service, same trusted ownership, just more convenient with a spot with easier parking. 303 Hargrove Road East, the compounding needs, the only sterile compounding facility in Tuscaloosa. Walk-in prescriptions are always welcome. Medicine on time, packaging, and all the compounding needs. It is TJ's Pharmacy and Wellness, 205-752-0627. If your pharmacist doesn't have an Alabama shirt on, you don't want him. TJ's Pharmacy and Wellness.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
It's halftime in the NBA's late game in L.A. The Clippers, with a record of 7-21, are leading Houston 63-58. Houston will face the Lakers on Christmas. Lakers were pounded at Phoenix, 132-108 Suns. L.A. star Luka Doncic was out with a bruised calf. San Antonio won its seventh straight game, defeating Oklahoma City 130-110, despite 33 points from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Dallas got a win, edging Denver 131-130. Cooper Flagg, 33 points, and 31 for Anthony Davis. Minnesota's Anthony Edwards scored 38 points in a home victory over New York, 115-104. Wins for Milwaukee and Cleveland. College basketball victories for St. John's and Villanova. College football bowl wins for Western Kentucky and Louisville. Ohio U up 17-3 over UNLV. That's 10 minutes to go at the Frisco Bowl.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you, aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny, cold, and windy this afternoon. Temperatures holding in the low 40s. For tonight, the winds will die down. The sky clear, the low 24. Tomorrow, sunny with a high at 41. Wednesday, a sunny day. Wednesday's high at 50. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 43 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into this Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Man, again, hope you guys had a great holiday week. I know it's still holiday season. We got New Year's coming up, but we also got a football game coming up, and that's what we're talking about right now. Speaking of Christmas, man, and gifts and all that stuff, hey, I know Christmas is over, but there's always birthdays, and hey, you can always get somebody a gift. You know, R&R Cigars, by the way, cigar box with those guys is a phenomenal gift. Make sure you guys check them out if you haven't already, or if you're looking for a place to go watch the game this week, R&R Cigars is the place to go. They got over 160 bourbons. They've got the new Yay Alabama alcoholic beverages there. They've got the custom drinks there. The one that Reagan mentioned on the show Friday, which I need to see if we'll get him on maybe Wednesday, since we won't be on Thursday. But anyway, got a lot of good stuff over there. They got TVs throughout. They got the wraparound porch. Might be a little chilly, but they normally have the heaters outside. And they got the best humidor in the Southeast, man. So make sure you guys check them out. They got the website, rnrcigars.com. I believe you still can use that code Miller's Edge to get yourself a discount, whether it's for you, gift, whatever, man. Make sure you guys check them out, man. And plus, again, I mean, if you're just looking for a place to go hang out, my dad loves hanging out at the cigar shops, right? If you guys haven't checked it out, man, do that. It's the Mansion 2703 Gary Fitz Street here in Tuscaloosa. That is R&R Cigars, who we hear from their owner, Reagan Sterner, typically on Fridays, probably this Wednesday, as we do the Smoking Hot Picks with Reagan. Again, that is R&R Cigars, the official cigar provider of Alabama football since 2014. Chase, while we're talking about this matchup, let's just piggyback kind of off some of what we just were talking about with this game. You got Alabama taking on Indiana, right? And we know Alabama coming off a big win over Oklahoma. I thought it was a very impressive win. I know that we started the game pretty damn bad, right? I understand that. But when you really look at it and you break it down, outside of that first quarter, that was probably one of the, I mean, to show that resolve and resiliency, right? To stay in it on the road, very hostile environment. They've got rapping performances. They got drone light shows. I mean, the crowd is loud. I mean, they had everything going on. But Alabama stood their ground, got punched in the mouth, got knocked down, right? If you want to compare it to a boxing match, got our ass knocked down. We fell on the canvas first quarter, got up, kept swinging. And the fact that our offense came back to life, the fact that Ty Simpson settled down, even when he was under duress, found a way to hit his guys. We had receivers stepping up, making plays. We ran the ball for 60-some yards. And I know when people keep saying, like, oh, we found a running game against Oklahoma. We did not. But we, most importantly, when we needed to, we found some ways to do it. And I think that's about all you can ask for out of this offense and this personnel, because that's what we've got. They've shown us what they are this season. I know we haven't committed to it like we need to, and if you commit to it a little bit more, maybe you get a little bit more, you can maybe squeeze some more out of it. But at this point, man, it is what it is. That said, offense somewhat returned to form over the last three quarters, and defense came up with some big plays, some big stops in that game. If Alabama can find a way to drag that momentum in this matchup, Chase, I feel solid that we're going to put ourselves in position to win this game. Does that mean we win it? I'm not sure. Nobody's figured out, you know, how to beat Indiana so far. So they're undefeated. I'm not saying they're not beatable, because they definitely feel beatable when I watch them. But the reality is they haven't lost. And that included, you know, a trip to Oregon, who's a good football team. They're in the playoffs. Matter of fact, the winner of this game will go on to play the winner of Oregon and Texas Tech. And that also includes beating, at the time, undefeated Ohio State, which I thought was an impressive win. They showed some resolve in that game. They found a way to make plays when they needed it, and ultimately beat the Buckeyes, who I think is also one of the top teams in the country, without a doubt. That said, really, man, again, Indiana, very sound football team, really good scheme, all that good stuff. They get after the quarterback. They force negative plays. Quarterback doesn't make a whole bunch of mistakes. He's very accurate, finds way to extend plays. Not really a runner at all, but he can use his legs when he needs to. And I just think it's going to be an interesting challenge. But my keys, right, if I've talked about this, and we'll expand on these throughout the week, but this is what I feel like needs to happen, guys. I mentioned a little bit before we came back. Offensively, you got to protect. You got to try to do your best to win the line of scrimmage. That's going to be a difficult challenge, knowing how good these guys are up front, all the twists and stunts that they run. They bring a lot of pressure from different places. It's going to be tough, but we need our offense line to step up. Give Ty Simpson some time. Let him make those throws that we saw him making against Oklahoma in those last three quarters. But I also think, Chase, you got to find a way to stay in front of the chains. Normally you do that by running the football on early downs and having success there. I don't know if that's really going to be the case. These guys are one of the best rushing defenses in the country. Now, their starting defensive tackle is out of this game. He got hurt celebrating. Not sure how much of a difference that makes, but I'm not going to sit there and say it just magically opens up the running game, but be something interesting to watch out for. But you got to stay in front of the chains. Why? These guys are really good on third down, right? On both sides of the football. And to me, when you're going against a defense like this that disguises well, brings a lot of pressure, staying in front of the chains can help. You don't want to find yourself in a bunch of third and long situations against a defense like this that's talented like they are. Just not a good situation overall. So I think staying in front of the chains will be big. And then protecting the football. These guys have forced 25 turnovers on the year, which is more than us. I want to say we're at 20. They're at like 25. So they're aggressive. They're well-coached schematically. They do a lot of different things. And they execute really well. I mean, overall, not just defensive, but overall, these guys don't make a lot of mistakes, man. They really don't. Really sound football team. They really are. And that's what makes them such a good unit. They're not the most elite team, but they are one of the most sound and most, successful in terms of executing when it comes to it. Defensively, Chase, when I look at it, these guys on offense, they run the ball well, they throw the ball well, the quarterback's accurate, and then they really do a good job just kind of controlling the tempo of the game. Time of possession is a stat that they do really well in as well. But I think really the key on defense, Chase, is getting after the quarterback. If you watch it, they're a little susceptible to giving up some sacks. Their offensive line, they're a solid unit, but they've shown that they'll give up some pressure. And when Mendoza is under pressure, that's when they start to struggle, right? If you give him time, that dude can make all the throws you need him to make. And he does a good job delivering the football to all his playmakers. Serrano, I think is his name, got a really good receiver in him, but he'll make the throws, man. He gives his guy a chance. He throws a lot of 50-50 balls. They come up with them, and they find a way to make some explosives, but they got a trio of running backs that they'll utilize that are really good football players. Again, 220, I believe, on the ground. My one of my best friends and former high school teammates is the running backs coach. His name is John Miller. You guys can look him up. He played at James Madison, but he does a really good job with that group. But overall, really balanced. But again, I think for defense, stopping the run, affecting Mendoza, getting pressure on, doesn't have to necessarily equate to sacks, but really just making him uncomfortable, getting after him. Right, speeding them up, try to force some errant throws, and then winning the turnover battle. I think if you can do those things defensively, I think that will definitely give us a good chance of winning this football game. Similar to what we've seen out of these guys and what you saw out of Oklahoma, right? Started off not getting a whole bunch of pass rush, but you saw what happened. Made some adjustments, played more man coverage, started bringing the heat, right? Mixing some things up, bringing some pressures, and I think we ended up sacking Mateer like 5 or 6 times. You saw how much different he looked once he finally was feeling pressure. Mateer was playing as good as he's played all year early in the game when he didn't see that pressure. What happened once he started feeling that pressure from Alabama's defense? Everything changes, right? So that's what Alabama's going to have to do defensively with Mendoza if you want to win this game and find a way to force some turnovers in this matchup. To me, I think those on the surface, after watching several Indiana games over the past couple of days, knowing us, you know, front and back, that's what Alabama needs to do if they want to win this football game. And I think it's going to be a good game, man. Weather could be a factor. We'll have to keep an eye out for that. Supposedly it's going to be a pretty rainy day. I'm not 100% sure if that's a fact yet. I know James Spann was talking about it. We'll have to see. But definitely could come into play. Probably not going to work out in Alabama's favor if that's the case, knowing that we just don't run the ball very well. And knowing that we're probably relying on our passing game to have success in this game, they, on the other hand, are very balanced and do both very well. So if that is a factor, probably would lean in Indiana's favor. That said, that's kind of my overall keys and outlook right now. Again, we'll continue to break that down as things progress throughout the week. Plus, we'll start pulling up some tape and some more. 205-342-9904. Let's go back to the phone lines. We got Tommy up next. Tommy, welcome in.
Hey, Chris. I hope you had a good Christmas.
Yes, sir, man. It was good, man. Pastor Payne showed up down here, and we had a great time, man. We went over to Coach Mosley's house. His family was in town, and man, it was a great time, man. We were laughing, cutting up, and it was a good time, man. And I hope you had a great Christmas as well, brother.
I did. I can't complain. Well, awesome. I think you hit it a lot on the team. And this is what I've been fussing about the last 2 weeks, even longer. I'm a fan of respect Indiana. Oh, they not blue blood. When we play them basketball, everybody would respect them. First time in what, nearly 60 years they go to a Romo or win a Big Ten. You know what the team in there remind me of? Players that know their role and their assignment. On defense, they just play as one offense. They all play as a team. There's no individual stars. I mean, they got good players. Don't get me wrong. I'm not taking that with them. But they are playing. I mean, they play the same football. They don't beat themselves. And just like how I'm at Oklahoma game, the team built the game. First game, we out 20 yards. Oklahoma nearly 200 yards in every statistic. It was a bad one. We had more turnovers. And Oklahoma had the main statistic that had the points on the scoreboard. Well, in reverse, out there in Norman, Oklahoma led Alabama in more yards, but Alabama won the kicking game, and then won the turnover battle, and then won the most important stat is they had more points than Oklahoma. The game was the same exact team game, but played different ways. One benefit Oklahoma in the first game, another one benefit Alabama. If you play sound football, you got a chance to win it.
Yeah.
That's all I mean.
No, you're right. They are that team, like you said earlier, that just well coached, know their roles, and they just execute extremely well. Like I said, they'll have guys that definitely play in the league. Mendoza is a potential number one overall pick, but even outside of him, I mean, they've got good players. But when I watch them, I mean, I think Georgia probably has more talent than these guys. Not probably. Georgia's going to have more talent than these guys, which we played them. You know, a number of teams are probably going to be more talented. It's just their scheme, their coaching, and their execution, like you said. They just don't make many mistakes. You got to earn it against these guys. And they're physical, right? They do a lot of things really well, and I think that's just what makes it a challenge for us. But I still just feel like, Tommy, if we can play, we got guys healthy, right? So that's already a positive. But if we can go in there and we can play clean, we can limit mistakes, and we can find ways to make those big plays like we saw against Oklahoma, because this is playoff time, right? You're not just going to be gifted things anymore. Everything's going to be earned. Like, I can see this game looking very similar to how Ohio State and Indiana looked. I can see it being one of those types of games. And I feel like that's probably going to end up being the case.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was talking about their defense. All their football players remind me of one player. Remind me of Corey Raymond, number 13. He wasn't the greatest athlete or five-star or four-star, but he sound. He knew his position. He knew his role. He knew his technique and his reads. And they say, well, they got 11 players like that. I mean, I'm impressed with them. I mean, oh, yeah, we can beat them, but I just get tired of, well, at least I made them by 14, 21 points. No, don't be arrogant. Show the team respect because they're the number one team. They went undefeated. They won the Big Ten. That's like my new saying I learned from my father and Coach Ron. Alabama fan, show your class, not your ass. All right? I mean, I'm sorry. I'm getting to be mean about all that, but I'm tired of this belittling thing. I mean, they don't deserve to be on the field. You know what? 100 years ago, they said the same thing about Alabama when they went to the Rose Bowl and played Washington. So, respect your opponent. Show class.
Yes, oh, no, yeah, you definitely want to respect them. And to be fair, I mean, Tommy, you know, I think that's going to happen. I mean, you got two fan bases probably going back and forth. I'll be honest with you. I definitely don't take part in any of that. I sometimes see it on Twitter, but no, I definitely would say respect these guys. Don't get confused with, because it is interesting when you look at the dynamics of this game. You got Alabama, who's, you know, one of the most storied programs in the history of college football, one of the most successful college football programs, like the mecca of college football. Then you've got Indiana, a program that I think before Cignetti got there, was literally, I want to say like, I don't even know. I want to say they were probably losing his program in college football. I think they might be second now that they've had success. So you've got those things. You've got the history. You've got Cignetti being a former receiver coach here at Alabama, part of Coach Saban's coaching tree, now at Indiana. Then you've got Kalen DeBoer, former Indiana coach, now here at Alabama. So there's so many interesting things in the game. But at the end of the day, none of those things matter. What matters is what happens on Thursday, January 1st, between those white lines, between a team led by the Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback, really good defense, and Ty Simpson, fiery guy who's seeming to get back on his stride, and the defense has been pretty damn consistent under Kane Womack in year number two. So I think it's going to be a good matchup, but definitely Alabama fans without a doubt need to respect Indiana. They're a good football team. That said, Alabama without a doubt can win this football game as long as they play to their standard. And I think that's how you got to view it, man. You just got to see what ends up being the result. It can go either way. To me, I feel like this is a toss-up type of game, but I do feel like whoever wins this game has a good chance of making it to the national championship. I do feel that, though. But we'll get there when we get there. Tommy, we appreciate you, brother.
All right, man. Take care. Roll Tide.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide, Tommy. Good deal. All right, we got to hit timeout. We come back. We keep got the tape pulled up. We'll keep breaking down some game tape. Keep talking about this matchup and more. 205-342-9904 is the number. We're free on guests for the rest of the show. So if you guys want to jump on here, man, feel free to do so. If you haven't already, check us out over on the stream at The Miller's Edge on YouTube, where we do the show every day live, 11 to 1. Again, the same thing as the radio. We're just streaming, doing the show, and you guys can watch the tape and watch me, all that good stuff, and all that. You already know the drill. All right, we got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling right here. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC.
Private party or celebration? We've got you covered. Learn more about private party packages, hours of operation, and when Santa will be here at holidaysontheplaza.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
Here, only at Tuscaloosa Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, where you pick it out and we'll work it out. Go to TuscaloosaCDJR.com.
With approved credit on select models, interest accrues from date of purchase. Offers expire month end.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9600. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny, cold and windy this afternoon. Temperatures holding in the low 40s. For tonight, the winds will die down. The sky clear, the low 24. Tomorrow, sunny with a high at 41. Wednesday, a sunny day. Wednesday's high at 50. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 45 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into this Monday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arts support experts. We're breaking down this Rose Bowl game again, January 1st, New Year's, man. This Thursday, Alabama taking on the number one ranked seed, Indiana, out in California, the granddaddy of them all. Never played in the Rose Bowl. I played out in California, both in college and in the NFL, but never played in the Rose Bowl, man. So definitely I do know from everybody I've spoken to. Great experience. always, I mean, very highly spoken about when people go out there, not only, you know, as a team, but the fans, everybody normally has a lot of great things to say. Hopefully the weather's not as bad as a lot of people are saying it could be, but it is what it is, man. At the end of the day, man, you got to go play football. That's what it's all about. That said, let's keep rolling on the phone lines. We got the tape pulled up. I'll keep breaking down. We're watching some Indiana defense, kind of getting an idea. Well, I've been watching it, but giving you guys a little bit of an idea on kind of what to expect, some of their, you know, key players, scheme, all that good stuff. 205-342-9904 is the number. Up next, we've got Smitty. Smitty, what's up, man? Talk to me.
Man, how's it going, Christian?
Man, I can't complain, Smitty, man. Another day, another dollar, man. I'm ready to get some football back, Alabama football. We have football this weekend. Some decent games going on, but ready to get this thing rolling, man. How's everything?
Besides the fact that my squad lost to Quinn Ewers, doing all right.
It's NFL for you, bro. The NFL, man. Hey, any given Sunday, brother.
I tell these people, this is the league. Folks are playing for jobs, coaches and players. People got pride. And they didn't listen to me. That's all I got to say. But And plus, the Bucks and the Panthers are going to play for the G5 spot in the NFC playoffs. But hey, you get in, you get in. You don't never apologize for that, you know. But but like with this game here, right? I think what happens is when people like the media, right? They just they look at records, and plus Indiana is a great team. They play well. They are consistent. They run the ball well. But Alabama has been better against the run than the media, the hot take media wants to let on. What did Armaad Hardy from Missouri do against them? Not much. A lot of good running games. Tennessee back had a good run, but they, you know how it is, how they play with all the, you know, spreading everybody out. But even they did a good job there. I just think, like, what happens is I still think the media hasn't grasped the concept that this defense is probably one of the most improved units in the country. And, and I do believe it's key that they slow down at Indiana's run because that's the key right there because they want to be balanced. I know everybody keeps talking about Alabama's run game or they need to establish it. Look here. Trying to establish that run game is trying to tell Nick Cannon to stop making babies. It ain't happening, you know, this year. Because I believe part of the issue is there's no explosiveness with our back. Because, you know, but hey, they do a good, like Daniel Hill's not done a good job, but he just limited in the speed and explosiveness factor and Jam just been banged up. So you just take what you can with those guys. But I just think, like, you have to, I think maybe you don't want to just sit back and zone Mendoza. Maybe you need to send some pressure and heat him up because we have the secondary to play man. And we got some physical guys at man. Ironically, our two best corners are from California. So just saying, you know, but we have that. And I know people talk about discipline. This team always asks this question. When was the last time we complained about Alabama having committed too many penalties this season? When was the last time?
You know, it's been quite some time. I mean, honestly, we've been much more cleaned up in that department, without a doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. And when people talk about the offensive line, I'm not even looking at the right side that's going to be targeted. It's the left side with big number 74. He's the one that's going to be the food out there. You know, we've got to keep it. We got to keep it a buck, right?
Well, hold on. I mean, listen, it's going to be both sides. I do agree that he's not as, you know, sometimes people just go, like, they go, oh, you got the All-American left tackle and think that the left side is just like invincible. I'm with you there that he's definitely still a little bit of liability with that speed rush. Yeah, 100%. But then I wouldn't say he's more of a liability than the right side. Personally, I don't know. Right side is still the weak side of the offensive line, in my opinion.
Yeah, I just look at Carroll more youth, and I understand some things are youth there, and he just got to roll with that. But this is year three, and my man's still getting beat the same way.
I agree. I think when you look at it, that's who he is as a player. I mean, listen, he's a guard. At the next level, if he doesn't slim down a little bit, to give himself a chance. I'm just telling you right now that my former teammate, Brian Burns, who I got drafted with, a guy like that, and I listen, Caden Prater, great, great dude, and I think he's a really good football player, but Burns, the type of guy, like those players will put him in a blender, brother. Like the speed, yep. Inside counter, dip, he's more fit to be a guard unless he's able to really, you know, have a transformation that allows him to play a little bit better on the edge. But just right now, I'm with you. And so, good player. I just think right now he's probably going to play tackle the next level.
Yeah, you know what? There's no shame in that because the Eagles made Mekhi Becton a guard and he got paid. Tyler Booker, he's a guard. And he's one of the best guards in the league already. There's no shame in that. And
Anthony Steen yep. played tackle in college here. Now he's playing guard for the Eagles. There's a lot of guys that make that transition. And it makes sense. That's why you know flexibility paid. And versatility is so important because you never know, you know, where you might be needed or where you might end up at. And I personally think Proctor would make a hell of a guard. I mean, he's strong, he's physical. I mean, and he's pretty athletic for his size. It's just to be a left tackle, the athleticism and the ability to work with those speed rushers, it needs to be a little bit more, you know, than what he's shown on a consistent basis. I'm not saying he couldn't do it. I just don't think he would be playing his best ball the next level. But, you know, that's, you know, his deal once he gets there. In this matchup, though, I mean, like, they don't have, like, some edge guy that, like, they have a lot of production up front, but it comes from like a lot of twists, a lot of movement. I think I mean, their interior guys are good. Their edge guys themselves, they got like a bunch of like outside backers that are like 6'1", like 21 is their Will. They bring him from a number of places. 46, he's another backer that they have that's good. So definitely watch those guys. But it's not like they've got like these guys like a Dylan Stewart, so to speak. The scheme is a little bit different. So, you know, for whatever that's worth.
Before I make a point about the portal and everything, I'll say this about Ty. You have to continue throwing the 50-50 balls, and the receivers got to make the tough catch like they did against Oklahoma. Because, hey, if you throw a pick, so be it. Because if you're scared to throw a pick, you're going to be like Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, all-time great quarterback, but he didn't want to put the ball in harm's way sometimes, throw it up, and Kirk Cousins, he's on the line. He'll throw shorter sticks. But I think, like you said, because everybody talking about the run game opens things up. The willingness to throw it downfield will open things up as well. And we have the guys to make those plays. And maybe we might have a speed advantage. Use that. But one thing, I saw Cam Coleman's in the portal. It's not about him, right? I don't think Alabama's going to pay to get him. Because you know how it is. You pay someone from the outside. The people who produce on the inside are going to need a bump, too. You know what I'm saying? Unless it's like Jeremiah Smith, you understand. But the thing is, people are unsustainable. This is how we know these college agents aren't real agents, because you can't mess up the money. You can't be telling people, hey, man, bounce here next year. Then go ahead next year. Because the people who are cutting the checks are going to say, forget this. I'm getting no ROI because the guy's not even sticking around for 2 years. Like, you notice in the league, they'll cut deals just to make sure the money's good for everybody. But if you keep encouraging these guys to bounce around all the time, one, are you graduating? Two, are you really developing? But also, you're going to turn off the boosters who are the ones cutting the checks. And who's going to win then? Because they all, you know the old saying, don't mess up the money for everybody. And I think people aren't seeing the long game with some of this.
Yeah. I'll say this. The NIL deals are like 1 year contracts. So technically they can always renegotiate on a yearly basis. Could they be multi-years? Yeah. I mean, you can, but no one does that. They're all pretty much on a year to year basis. But we'll have to see, man. I just don't see them moving around that much to go get another guy. Listen, again, you're already paying Ryan. I never found it. If you guys find that graphic, and it was from On3 and it had like the highest paid receivers in college football, but Ryan Williams was on the list. Isaiah Horton was on the list. Isaiah was at like 700. And I know Ryan is probably pushing seven figures. So between those two guys, and Horton's a good chance he's coming back. There's no way they find a way to bring in Cam Coleman. I just don't see it happening. And personally, as great as he is, if I had to make a decision, Cam Coleman, but I already have guys like Horton, Lotsier Brooks, and Ryan Williams versus
Darian Morgan coming in.
Yeah, Darian Morgan coming in, who a lot of people are excited about him, a big body guy as well. Derek Meadows, another guy that I think could end up, I mean, listen, they like him a lot. He got some experience as a freshman, but if I had to make that decision between a guy like him or offensive line, investing in that, or defensive line, give me the guy in the trenches, brother, anytime, or at least maybe two of them.
Yeah, because I was about to say that, and I'll say this and I'll run. It makes you, because I was about to say that, give me the offensive and defensive line, because we got freshmen backing up some of these veteran offensive line. You can always use a depth like that. A defensive line, you can never have too many. Because the Eagles, they keep trading for defensive linemen, or the 49ers. That's how you're supposed to do it, because you don't want to be like the Bengals here, who passed, even though Jamar Chase is great, they passed on a Hall of Fame left tackle, and now everybody's complaining about Burrow's time in the pocket. You can find a receiver. I'm not diminishing Cam Coleman at all, but it is harder to find those good offensive and defensive linemen. And I think that's where the money should go to for that. In linebackers, because we need some linebackers, because our starting three are leaving. So you need the depth there as well. So I would rather fortify the front seven and continue to get some offensive line depth than pay for another receiver.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I mean, because I listen, to me personally, I just feel like the teams that overinvest in just skill guys, but then they neglect the trenches, I feel like it never works out the way people assume. I think they think, all right, we get all these players, they're going to make all these plays, it's going to be a good football team. But the problem is, football, man, at the end of the day, it's always going to be winner. The games are won or lost in the trenches. Doesn't matter how good a receiver is, doesn't matter how good the quarterback is. If you don't have an offensive line that can protect and give you guys an ample amount of time to throw the football, what good does it do having those players, right? So, personally, I think, you know, it sounds good. Trust me, and I would love to add even more weapons. But the problem is the analytics don't work out, and I just think that would be a little negligent. But you never know. I mean, there's sometimes that guys are willing to take cuts and show up in capacities like that. For example, I mean – if he really just wanted to play at Alabama, he really liked the university, he liked the scheme, he had a friend or something here, maybe they could work something out where they're saying, hey, we'll get you as much as we can in, you know, off-field true NIL, because that's still a thing, and then try to find, you know, recoup in that area. So who knows, but I think realistically it's probably not there. But again, you mentioned it, like we said earlier, linebacker, you got to address that. I would love to get, you know, a D lineman that you just said you feel good about. Hey, he's coming in here and he's a problem. I think that would be solid. I know we've got good players, but you never can go wrong with somebody like that. Then really offensive line. You're losing, so you got the right tackle who's going to be there. Right guard has been Formby and other guys rotating, so you got some players there, but you always can upgrade. Center, Parker Brelsford is really good. I don't know if he plans on coming back or what. And then left tackle, you know, he's gone. So I wouldn't be mad at going and getting a left tackle, a proven left tackle that is a really good football player. I'd rather put some money there.
Yep. And the thing is also, some of these players, if you're actually got first round talent, do you really need to break the bank on NIL when you're going to be a first or second round pick in the league anyway? You know, now I'm not saying don't get your money, but if you're that highly rated, man, you can take a little cut, get developed, because we know that goalless Tennessee system does not work well for receivers because you don't run a route tree. So maybe if you want to get developed and you know you're going to hit the league anyway, maybe you can take a little bit off the top. But I can't tell anyone to do that. If they offer you, someone offer you a couple of million, like 1.5 or something, hey, why not? But, hey, Christian, thanks for taking my call, good brother. And I really feel good about our chances Thursday.
Yes, sir. I love it, man. I appreciate it, Smitty. Man, be easy, brother. Good deal. All right, our guy Smitty doing a good job as always. But we got to hit a timeout and stay on schedule. We come back, we keep on rolling, we keep on watching the tape and keep on answering y'all's calls and questions, all that good stuff. Check us out on YouTube if you haven't, or Facebook at The Miller's Edge on YouTube. Tide 100.9 Facebook page. We stream live there as well. We got to hit a quick timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling right here. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports.
California, here we come.
The Crimson Tide, the Indiana Hoosiers, New Year's Day, the Rose Bowl.
baby.
To play top-seeded Indiana.
Roll Tide.
The road to the national title continues. Live from Pasadena, California, our coverage begins at noon on your home for Alabama football, the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at Tuscaloosa.
On Mazda lineup, offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
WTBC presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. We've been talking about this Rose Bowl matchup again this Thursday, 3 p.m. Central Time. So we will not be on air more than likely on Thursday. So we'll do like our prediction. Normally do prediction Friday. We'll do prediction Wednesday. Probably talk with Reagan, get his smoking hot picks then, and all that stuff as well. But in the meantime, we're going to keep breaking down this game. We've been talking a lot about it. We're talking with you guys, 205-342-9904 is the number to the program. Now, I don't have this link pulled up. Chase, maybe you can see it before I do. I'm trying to pull it up now, but do we have any app messages? I know it's been a while since we've hit those, but I'm curious. Have we been hitting the phone lines? Any app messages, Chase? That way we can catch up on that. Chase, you got me? All right, well, I can't hear Chase, so I'll try to pull it up. In the meantime, we'll keep on rolling. But if you guys, I hope you guys didn't forget, we still do the app messages. All you got to do is download the Tide 100.9 app. It's completely free, and there you can leave app messages, you can leave voice messages, all that stuff. We haven't really done a voice message in quite some time, but If you guys want to do that, feel free to do it. I can't pull this up right now because I'm in the middle of talking. So I'll we'll wait for when Chase gets a chance to read it. But anyway, let's keep on rolling. Oh, there he goes. Yeah, no, I can't hear you on our end, Chase. This, but it's all good. But yeah, just check if we have some app messages. In the meantime, we'll keep on rolling about this. I had a clip that I wanted to play earlier because there's a lot of people talking about this game. And there's a lot of interviews. Maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll just go to an interview. Kane Womack spoke to the media most recently. I know Ryan Grubb did as well. Kind of want to hear from Kane Womack talking about this matchup defensively first, and we can double back and listen to Ryan Grubb. Actually, no, let's go in order. We'll stick it with the order. Ryan Grubb spoke first. I think it was, I don't remember when it was, but it was the other day. So let me try to pull this up real quick. Yeah, it's about 10 minutes. So maybe we can get Ryan Grubb in here for today, and then we'll talk some more deep. You already know the drill. 205-342-9904 is the number. That being said, let's go ahead and hear from Alabama offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb previewing this match at the Rose Bowl again Thursday, 3 p.m. Central Time.
Yeah, just was going to say it's an honor to be in the Rose Bowl. Played a few games there, but never the actual Rose Bowl. So just really fired up to go against the number one team in the country. See Mendoza in person, you know, Heisman Trophy candidate, you know, or winner, I should say. Heck of a quarterback and just a great staff. They do a great job. So looking forward to the opportunity.
All right, thanks, Coach. Let's start on the far right here with Nick.
Yeah, what's the biggest thing you want the offense to carry over from the second half of the Oklahoma camp?
Their resiliency. What they showed, you know, what we felt they've been capable of all year is when the chips are down, you know, you got to be at your best, play to our standard, not the circumstances, you know, and I thought, you know, that was what they did. And, you know, we've preached that for quite a while, or I have anyways, that, you know, we got to play to our standard, you know, in practice and in games, and when it's not perfect, that we don't, you know, fall down to the circumstances and, you know, fall out of love with the game when all of a sudden you're down a couple touchdowns or something. And I just thought they played so hard, and Ty was, I thought it is all-time best, in my opinion, just the way he was, his resiliency on the sideline, his mindset, you know, just the things he was saying in between series, you know, there just was a belief that, you know, if I was down there playing with Ty, I would believe, like, we're going to get this done. So I think that unwavering belief, and just the guys with a really, really tough start, obviously, the football game, that they, you know, knew they could move the football on these guys, they'd done it before, and just stuck to the plan.
Coming front left, Chase.
My question's similar to that one. I want to ask you more about Ty in the Oklahoma game. He obviously played better in the second half than the first half, but apart from just performance, did you also detect a different Ty in terms of the intangibles, confidence, poise, command, things like that in the second half versus the first half? And if so, where do you think that might have come from?
I did for sure. And I think you know, as far as where it came from, I think that there was a mindset going into the game that was embedded in Ty. And I think that it was one that you saw in the Georgia game earlier in the year and things like that, where there was a little bit of the just let it rip mentality, you know, not worrying so much about, you know, what's going on around him or, you know, how this could affect anything else other than just playing, you know. And obviously for a, you know, a 22-year-old young man, you know, that's – a lot of pressure there. You know, I think he did a good job of just staying in love with the process, be in the game plan, be ready for the game, and let it keep building and adjust as you go in the game and get ready to make the play. And I just think he was in that moment. He was in the zone as far as just staying locked into the game. And I was going to be ready for that moment. You know, that's how I felt talking to him on the headset, was just that if we got that moment, he was going to make the throw and we were going to make the catch. And, you know, we did, and we kept capitalizing on those moments.
Let's go to Charlie on the far right side.
With Indiana, they're kind of the top nationally in just about every statistic you look at. When you watch them on film, kind of what jumps out immediately?
Really disciplined defense. They play very disciplined. They're exactly where they're supposed to be. They execute their system at a really, really high level. They tackle really well. And I think one thing I see that we've been challenging our guys on, they defeat blocks. You know, and I wish I could tell you something way more sexy than that, but it's like they're really good at the little stuff, you know, and that's what you you see, you know, in good defenses is teams that defeat blocks, run to the football, tackle well, force turnovers. They do all the little things really, really well. And that's what, you know, we got to be ready for. Just see plenty of plays on film where it's like this play is developing, it's got a shot, it looks like it's going to be well executed, and then they just simply defeat the block. And they win at the point of attack. And so, you know, just a good smash mouth team that you can tell are very well coached.
Let's go to Joe right in the middle of the room there.
Coach, I'd like to ask you about a specific play from that Oklahoma game in the fourth quarter. You're up 7 and Ty hits a 24-yarder to Jeremy Renard down, basically sets up.
And, you know, Jerm obviously, he underthrew probably obviously more than he intended, but, you know, that Jerm would make the play for him. And then the other part, which is really, I thought, showed how in tune the football game Ty was, that was their backup corner. You know, we had talked about replacing players, getting in there, and, you know, he went right at it. And so I just thought it, you know, showed a lot of savvy in Ty's part.
Go third row on the right, Mike.
Just what have these last couple of weeks been like for you with some of the shuffling, you know, on the offensive staff? And just what does it mean to you to have Nick get the opportunity at Michigan State?
Oh, man, Nick's much more than a coworker. He's a dear friend. I mean that. He's just become even better coaches. And I think that, you know, for Coach Fitzgerald, he got a great one. So as far as for the staff, you know, there's certainly some complications that go with those things. I would say, again, you know, not to overcompliment Nick, but none of those complications have ever come from Nick. He has just been a total stud. You know, if there's somebody that's up in the office as much as me, it's Nick. And that was like statement number one. And it just says a lot about his character, the kind of person he is. So super excited for him.
Let's go to the far left side of the room to Will.
Coach DeBoer said going into last game that he wanted you guys on the offense to add to your identity in the running game. That's a really good defense that you guys beat against Oklahoma and then another really good one that you're going to face in the Rose Bowl. How do you think you guys can add to your identity in the running game in the Rose Bowl?
Kind of get started earlier. You know, we got to stop doing this first quarter shenanigans, waiting to get the run game going until the second, third quarter. We're capable of doing it earlier in the game. We got good enough players. The scheme's there. We just got to execute earlier in the football game. I didn't think, you know, that's been our problem as of late. A couple games where we've gotten off to a slow start. It has not been the case all year, but some critical games where I just didn't feel like we were ready for the physical strain early on. And the guys know that. They're up for the challenge. I think we'll see a different football team in the first quarter to Rose Bowl.
Let's go to Blake on the back right.
Yeah, what kind of impression have the early enrollees made for you this week in practice, specifically maybe Jed, a quarterback?
None really yet. great guys. They really honestly haven't done anything yet. They've been out running around. I know Sedarius has been doing an awesome job over on the scout team for the defense, which is really cool. I know we got a couple of the young defensive players over with us, so I'm actually getting a better look at those guys than the offensive guys. And Jed played a little bit of catch last night. He really just got here, and so did Mac. So nothing yet, but just excited. It's kind of really a cool entry point for these guys into the program here at Alabama. Is just, you know, we're on a playoff run. We're going to the Rose Bowl. I think, you know, in their mind, I would think this is everything they signed up for. You know, is this is what they, you know, want it to look like when they're in those seats.
Okay, we do have time for one last question from the Zoom. It'll be from Katie Windham. Katie, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, hey, Coach, just what did you like about Ty's decision-making against Oklahoma and really the whole offense and taking care of the ball, and how important is that going to be against an Indiana defense that's been pretty tough to score on this year?
Yeah, the turnover margin obviously was something that we harped on. That was a, you know, we felt like that was the reason we lost the game the first time to Oklahoma. And so it was a huge point of emphasis for us. And honestly, I still didn't think we did a good enough job. The ball was on the ground a couple times that it should have been. And so, you know, we just always say there's blood in the water when people see that. So obviously, Indiana's watching that. They're good at getting the ball out. So we're putting a ton of emphasis on that as usual at practice. And so for us right now, I think that when you play tight football games in the playoffs and good defenses like this, we got to take care of the ball. We got to be careful with our decision making. And anybody that touches the football, we just tell them to imagine that's the whole state of Alabama handling the ball. So they got to take care of that thing.
All right.
There you go. That was offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb speaking to the media over the weekend, tomorrow, since we're running out of time, we'll hear from Kane Womack, get a little bit more of the defensive perspective. But as you heard it, a number of thoughts from Ryan Grubb regarding his offense, the performance that they had against Oklahoma, plus his thoughts on this Indiana defense, which he was very complimentary of. Obviously, they do a really good job with a number of things, and he mentioned and echoed pretty much what we've been saying on the show in terms of being fundamentally sound, tackling well, all the little things they do extremely well. They get pressure on the quarterback. They create a lot of negative plays. They disguise well. So it's going to be a good challenge for this offense. Can this Alabama offense, I think, to me, is the biggest question, recreate what we saw out of, you know, three quarters against Oklahoma, which was reminiscent of what we saw out of them earlier on in the year. Success through the air, you know, occasional success on the ground when they needed it, especially later in the game. But most importantly, just being aggressive, playing confident, finding ways to neutralize some of that pressure that we're going to see and come up with some explosive plays to move the football down the field. I think that's what we're going to have in this game, and we want to find a way to beat this Indiana team who hasn't been beaten just yet. When you watch them on tape, which we'll continue to do throughout the week, definitely a beatable team, but without a doubt, it's going to be a challenge. Probably one of the, if not the biggest challenges this year. I will say this, though, Chase, before we get out of here. When you look at them, because I know some people, to me, you know, talking about the biggest game we played and what might have been our biggest game, Georgia, you know, they're I would say, probably the best team we played outside of Indiana. Comparing the two is kind of interesting. They're definitely different teams, but I could see an argument where people could say that Georgia is a more dangerous football team than Indiana, which if that is the case, I think you should feel a little more confident when you think about it, because you went on the road and beat that Georgia team in their home, right, in their stadium. So he's got to find a way to recreate some of that success in California, in the Rose Bowl, and come up with a win over this Indiana football team. That way you can advance in the college football playoffs, where, again, the winner of this game will face the winner of Oregon and Texas Tech. Speaking of Georgia, who knows? Some people even think, Chase, we could see a rematch for the national championship. That would be crazy, but we'll talk all about that and some a little bit later on in the week. We'll reach out to Gray. Hopefully we'll get Gray back on here as well. He does a great job breaking down things, all college football, especially from the playoff perspective. So we'll do just that, hopefully with him later on in the week. Big thanks to everybody. Chase behind the glass, our listeners via Tide 100.9 on the radio side of things, the listeners over on the stream, on YouTube at Miller's Edge, and on Facebook. Per usual, man, we appreciate you guys, and we look forward to doing it all again tomorrow right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. We'll see you guys then.